mothership? How they communicate with them? Can you tell me what they look like? Can you tell me how many of them there were? Were you given food?
But the teachers are alive. They're not books. They are the very living essences of nature itself.
What a strange person.
Unbelievably powerful supercomputer that's running our reality, and we don't have a clue as to how to operate it.
So when maybe you or somebody else creates an AGI system, and you get to ask her one question, what would that question be? What's outside the simulation?
Say in your mind, say to yourself, I am more than my physical body, because I am more than physical matter. I can perceive that which is greater than the physical world.
Broadcasting from a shack on a hill in the Mossy Creek bottoms of Cane Creek, Arkansas. This is Lighting the Void. I'm your host, Joe Roop. Welcome back. We're live on KTLK Digital Broadcasting, The Fringe FM. I'm glad that everything worked out better tonight than it did last night. And I know some of you still might be confused because we're switching over to a new streaming service. And so if you're using TalkStream Live, the Paranormal Radio app, all of that, like Paranormal Radio app, TalkStream Live, and any of the web apps or on the website, and then you're with the new service. The Fringe FM app and Fringe FM players, or that app, we're getting a new app, but that app should, I have it set up to relay the new service. So if you're in doubt, always use, right for right now until we get our player, use TalkStream Live or the Paranormal Radio app, because we're still working with TuneIn, and just bear with us. But it's pretty cool. The new stuff's going to be pretty cool. You guys will see. All right, so it is Tuesday night, August the 4th, and we have a very special guest that's going to be on here tonight with us, author, intuitive healer, Cindy Dale is here with us tonight for the first time on Lighting the Void. We're going to be discussing healing, intuition, pretty much spirituality, right? And this is big right now. So my intuition's been on fire. I've honestly struggled with it lately, and I don't know about you, but I think sometimes we struggle with our inner voice. Maybe it's our gut. Sometimes we're not sure. Like, say we meet a person or we have a bad feeling about somebody, and we don't really know if that's just our paranoia or is it our intuition. How do we tell? Is it the ego or is it our higher self? These things can get complicated because we have so many psychological issues and subconscious programs that are always running. How do we know when spirit's talking to us, and how do we heal ourselves in this way, right? So Cindy Dale is an internationally renowned author, speaker, healer, and business consultant, and author of 27 books about energy medicine, intuition, and spirituality. And in addition to having worked with over 70,000 clients and presented hundreds of seminars and workshops across the Americas and in Russia, England, Wales, Amsterdam, Iceland, Costa Rica, Belize, Morocco, Peru, Scotland, and more. She is also a favored teacher and healer for China, leading in-person and online classes, and has been published in over 17 languages. As well, Cindy teaches a year-long apprenticeship program to her company, Essential Energy, assisting individuals with developing their natural, intuitive, and healing gifts. These courses are added to the dozens she teaches locally and worldwide in energy medicine and spiritual healing, and her website is Cindy Dale, C-Y-N-D-I, CindyDale.com. Cindy, thanks for coming on the show. It's good to have you.
Thank you. I'm thrilled to be here. We're gonna see what our intuition is really saying to us, aren't we?
Yeah, that's been the biggest thing. Like, I was thinking before the broadcast, like, if I have one big question I would really like to ask her, what would it be? Of course, everything that you do centers around, you know, spirituality and energy, obviously. But yeah, I mean, how do we tell what's our inner voice and what's the ego and which one to listen to? You know, it does get a little difficult sometimes.
It does get hard, especially if we're attached to an outcome. So I don't know how often I struggle, you know, kind of like trying to tune in or read the energy or figure out what the guidance is saying. But if my brain, if my ego, like you're saying, is really attached to, hey, I want it to be that guy, or I want this job, or that's the outcome that I really want, I can actually warp my senses or my sensitivities to convince myself that that bird that's flying in the sky is telling me I'm going to get what I want, or the dream I had really means that it's all going to work out for me versus I better take another look or maybe take a hike. So it's really the most pertinent question of the times, I think, because not only are people dealing with a lot of fear and confusion and uncertainty, and, you know, really honestly, we do a lot anyway. Just normal life has a lot of fear and uncertainty. But even now more than any other time, we need to get rock solid with what's our gut really saying and what are the different forms of intuition and how can we tell when it's intuition versus Memorex or somebody else's energy. So I'm expanding our discussion. I'm not really answering yet. I'm just saying there's so many other things that we can be picking up on. And so it makes it even more important to go inside of us rather than, you know, and get really honest with ourselves rather than look at what's out there and go with our attachment.
Okay, that makes sense. So it has everything to do with outcomes, right? So if we're focused on a specific outcome, then that can tend to mess things up for us, right?
I think it's about outcome. I think most of the time, I do believe there's subconscious programming, but intuition, I don't believe, really cares about our subconscious programs. We have energy. We're always giving off subtle energy or psychic energy, and we're always picking that up from other people. But intuition is more mindfully managed than what's just flying around the room or what we're sensing or seeing or hearing kind of psychically. If we're really focused in, if we're holding our own, if we're in touch with our own spirit, you know, we're going to get the answers that are accurate. We're going to be able to read intuitively what's really going on versus trying to misinterpret what we're getting. So I think it's also a function of interpretation.
And is it, you know, the people, well, I've heard a lot of different things too from a lot of different people about listening to the intuition, like, hey, do we listen to our gut? Do we listen to our dreams? Do we listen to, you know, omens and stuff? I believe in that because I do, like, I believe that the spirit's constantly trying to talk to us in certain ways. Like, you know, if you see a certain animal all the time, to me, it's like, yeah, that does mean something. But I do wonder, like, how much we spend just convincing ourselves. Do you even look at any of that stuff, like synchronicities, all of that? Or do you take a different method of how you do things? Because I think I go crazy.
Yeah, I look at all of it. I think it's fantastic. So I like to break intuition into four main languages, Joe. And that may help a little bit because I think if we know what the four intuitive languages are, we can decide which ones we in particular kind of relate to the most and what we want to do with it. So I think there's one intuitive language that's empathic. I would call it more physically empathic. So we sense something in our physical body. Maybe we're out for lunch with a friend and they have a knee pain and we feel their knee pain. Like we leave lunch and go, oh my gosh, you know, I actually have a knee pain now. So we're sensing in our body what's happening outside. Or in that same category, I usually throw emotional intuition too, or empathy. And we've all had that sense where somebody's talking and they're acting happy, but we're suddenly feeling really sad. And we're able to figure out by just how we're suddenly feeling, you know what, they're really sad. I can tell that they're not what they seem because I'm feeling
exactly.
their sadness. So
yeah,
so that's one intuitive language. And another one that's a little more difficult, I think, to work with is more the spiritual empathy. And you're getting to some of that where you just all of a sudden just know something. You just know, you know what? Something's just not going to go my way. Or this person's joshing me. Or, you know, like, I know that person doesn't like their job. So we're almost playing God. We get that sense inside of what's right, what's wrong, who's lying, who's not. It's an awareness. I don't know about you, but sometimes that one's harder to explain because I'm just going, you know, I just know this.
No,
I just feel like I'm dialed in.
Yeah, no, I am totally that way too. With myself though, I'm just as hard on myself as I am everybody else though too. And it's like, I realize I need to soften up. And what I mean by that is I can hear somebody tell me something. They tell me all this great stuff, right? But behind, I really know what's going on, not just their agenda, but I can also tell, like you say, I can feel that something's not right, you know. But
exactly, you're just aware of it. You just yeah, it's that awareness or consciousness. And I'm with you that one we can turn on ourselves, and we got to be careful of that, because you know, like the same way that I might be getting a sense of somebody else, like, oh, you know, my dog's just fooling me. Like even right now, he's staring at me, like trying to wag his tail. And I know he doesn't really care about me. I know he just wants me to give him an SNACK. You know, that's what he wants. Right?
You can't even say it out loud. That's funny.
No, I got to spell it. he'll be sitting right here at my feet looking up and pleading with you if he's not going to get his way with me too. So we apply that to ourselves, and I can tell when I'm sort of kind of hustling or not right on, or I'm fudging it a little bit. So that's a really good point about intuition, is it's not just about what we're picking up around the outside world, but ourselves too. But you gave a couple great examples of the other two basic styles of intuition. One's visual. And that's the stuff we get in the dreams. We get the dream with the pictures, or we get a picture popping in our head or a vision. And sometimes it's not always in our head. It's not got that inner psychic. Sometimes it's just you look at a license plate or a billboard. One day, a few years ago, I was just feeling really down, and three times I drove around, you know, to run errands or go to the office or whatever it was. And I saw the same basic message on three different cars' license plates, all a version of I love you. And I was like, wow, that's just, you know, that's not just coincidence. There's sort of that law of three. If you see something three times, you might want to pay attention, because spirit is reaching through in a way that can get to you. Like, I always give permission for spirit, or I believe there's guides also, to hit me on the head. And I don't really want them to do that literally. But I'm pretty Norwegian. I'm pretty stubborn. I like to see things the way I like to see them. But I give permission to have signs, omens, portents, visions, whatever it is, come to me in a way that I have to pay attention. So if you set that up, you're going to get it too. So besides vision, we've got verbal. And verbal can be you just hear messages in your head, or a thought pops in, or you hear a voice that's not your own. That's sort of on that kind of inaudible, you know, it's psychic.
Yeah.
But sometimes you just get in your car and you turn on the radio and it's like, oh my gosh, that song's my song. That's exactly what I need to know. I remember having to decide if I should, I had two choices between which books to write next. A publisher approached me and said, we'd love you to write on this topic or this topic. And I was like, I don't know. I can't feel it. I can't tell. So even though I make my living as an intuitive, it's not like I always have instant on-demand answers either. Like, you get what you get when you get it. Mm-hmm. And I got in my car and there was this song playing, and it was, I think it was that Leaving on a Jet Plane.
Ah, I know that song.
Remember that song?
That's so synchronistic you say that. Like, I was talking to a friend of mine yesterday, and she was like, hey, did your grandmother or your mother used to sing you songs or something? Was it yesterday? It was the day before. And I was like, no, but my aunt did. She sang this one song to me when I was a kid all the time, and that's the song she sang. So you're bringing that up.
Oh,
anyway.
That's so weird. Because it's been years since I heard that song.
I didn't mean to cut you off. I just thought that was strange.
Well, that's synchronicity. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
So maybe somebody reaching through to you here too. And as odd as it sounds, because that's all about relationship and heart and this and that, that's when I decided to write this relationship book about souls and relationships. So that meant something to me, and it would have meant something to you if it was on the radio, but not for somebody else. So I felt like it was a customized answer just made for me verbally.
Yeah, you know that, like, you can't prove those things to people. You can't. You just know. Those are the things that I think is the whole reason why a lot of our audience is here, because we have so much of that in our lives. And then we go out and we try to talk to the layman or someone, you know, the skeptic about it. And they're like, well, where's your scientific data or your proof? And it's like, I don't have it. But I think that's kind of the paradox about it, right? You can't really prove it, but you know it's real, you know?
Yeah. And I think sometimes skeptics in their own way know it's real. I think sometimes they're looking for an explanation. I gave a session, for instance, not too long ago to a medical doctor, and he's very open in terms of he's into, meditation and deep breathing and some of these kind of approaches. And I use my intuition during the session or during the reading, and I hit some nails on the head, like, this happened when you were 8. Oh, you know, you don't just pull that out of the air. You don't just make that up. It's not the bunny in the hat kind of a thing. Or maybe it is the bunny in the hat. And, you know, a few other things that were like, wow, how would you have known that? Or how would you know what, you know, my deceased mother would look like? Or which you're not going to dial that up on the internet or this and that. And at the end of it, he just took a deep breath and he goes, well, I think some people's senses are just more attuned than other people's senses. And I could tell that he didn't want to believe in ESP and paranormal and the woo-woo and the odd, and certainly we weren't going toward aliens and, you know, yeah, some of the other stuff. That you can, this opens the door to all of that. Because if you can get an image in your head that's accurate about somebody half a world away, well, maybe you can get an image in your head from something in another dimension too, right? I mean, you got to start stretching at that point. But he just sort of encapsulated it and said, well, you know, some people's senses are just more fine-tuned. But Joe, I don't know if that's necessarily inaccurate either. Because when we're being intuitive, we are using our body. We are. I mean, we may be sort of out of our body. There's people who journey out of the body and they go to France and have coffee with somebody in France on a, they call it bilocation, right? And they're here and they're over there. And I'm still working on that one. In an enjoyable sort of a way. but you do use your senses. So you still feel, you still get a gut. It's in your stomach. You still get an image that's kind of in your head. You still get a word that's in, you know, side of your ears. So we're not separate from the body, which I think can sometimes confuse people, but it could also help explain it. You know, it is a finer attunement of the senses.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So when you work with people, what is the most common type of client that comes to you that you see? The most common, I guess, the issue that people are trying to fix in their lives when it comes to this work that you do?
Well, I think there's only three life areas. And one would be whatever you want to call it, career or purpose. Uh-huh. And the second's going to be health. And the third's going to be relationship. And I haven't found a question that really goes outside of those boxes. So, of course, if somebody has cancer or chronic autoimmune disorders or something where they can't even almost be in their lives or enjoy it, their first concern's going to be their health, like what's in it, what's underneath it. But typically, we're going to be looking at purpose and relationship when we're talking about health. I think these days, more people are talking about purpose than anything else. And, you know, what am I, who am I? Like, what are my abilities? What are my gifts? How, why am I here?
Yeah.
I think that's the one that sooner or later we get to. Even if somebody calls and they're saying, you know, I actually had one guy come in a few years ago, and back then I used audio cassette tapes to record. These days, gosh knows what technology is offering. It's almost getting too complicated to me. But he came in and he had four tapes, one audio cassette player and four, you know, audio cassette tapes. And he said, I'm in four relationships, so I'm going to just have you check in on each one. They're all romantic. And tell me what each one means. But don't talk about the other one when I'm on, you know, Carol's tape. Don't talk about Janet. And I'm like, okay. So that was obviously seemingly a session about relationships. But sooner or later, he set all that aside. I said, you know, what's underneath all these relationships? I mean, what are you reaching for? And maybe we should take a look at that, because it feels like you're just displacing yourself. You're pulling yourself in all these, you're quartering yourself. And why don't we take a look at who you really are? What's your essence? What are your abilities? Who are you here to be? And he just started crying, and he said, that's what I really want to know. And he goes, I think I'm a different person with each of these relationships, but I really am looking for, like, who I am on the inside.
Yeah.
And it was a beautiful session in the end. At first I was like, I don't know if I want to enable this.
Well, don't you think that, I know that I've personally grown spiritually through relationships, but I do see what you're coming from too, because I think there's a fine line between growth and I guess what you call toxicity. I hear that word a lot, toxic stuff. And I just think, in my opinion, and you can tell me yours, they're just such harsh words to use on people, because everybody's got problems and everybody's got hang-ups, including the man talking on this microphone right now. So to tell someone, oh, this is toxic, or that's this, or that, this is harsh to me, even though the reality may be true, you know. So I think setting boundaries with a little bit more sensitivity, but enforcing the boundaries might be helpful. And that's just in my opinion.
I agree with that. I think it's a matter, and I'm with you that I don't like to say, well, that's a toxic subject, because we all have these soft points. I don't even always like to use the word weak points. They're sort of soft points. They're places where we're tender, where we're vulnerable, where we're seeking. Don't you think it's sort of more of a matter of seeking and searching than anything else? And some of us seek with just matching up with basically the same alcoholic over and over. But what are we trying to get to? Which of part of us are we trying to find? And so that's the way I like to maneuver my work is, you know, if somebody has a so-called presenting issue or problem or something that obviously seems very, you know, at least even slightly unhealthy, my approach is typically to go, well, this is the way they think they're going to meet a need. And, you know, just keep, you know, continually marrying or going for jobs that are really beyond them that don't match them, or going for the pot all the time or the this all the time or whatever it is. I mean, we all have, gosh knows, you know, there's no room for judgment from any of us. But I like to look at it like that's probably a pattern. Patterns are just ways to get a deeper need met. So why don't we look for what the need is? And then once we get there, we can find a different way to meet it.
No, that was fair enough. I even, you know, I looked at, what do you think about astrology? Just curious, because I'm going over your books here, And then I want to get into energy after we talk about this. But as an energetic person, as a person that works with energy a lot, what do you think about astrology? What people say about all these different planetary alignments, like the Leo King, you know, this planet's retrograde, this planet's Venus is coming out of shadow. And it seems like that what they talk about is really happening. But I wonder if it's not like confirmation bias sometimes that we're not doing that because we believe it, you know?
I'm more with you. I'm more with the confirmation bias because I think you can literally read into the stars rather than figure out what the stars are saying to you. We're influenced because if nothing else, Venus, Mars, Mercury, the sun, we're sort of looping over to energy already, but those are energetic bodies. Everything's made out of energy. Yeah. Energy is information that moves, and we're impacted by energy. I mean, when the solar flares go off on the sun, you know, there's a higher incidence of suicide and people checking themselves into ER. And there's studies that show that certain types of your energy actually pick up on solar flares before they happen, and your heartbeat starts to increase. So we're really connected in. Our cells are made out of the stuff of the earth and the stuff of the stars. We're electromagnetic beings. So we are going to be impacted by what's happening, obviously in our own homes or around us or with people, but also by these larger bodies and planets. I think it's too much. I don't like giving my power away either. And it's not like I'm, you know, trying to be a tantruming little girl and saying, well, I don't want the moon telling me what I'm going to do. We're influenced, but we still are responsible for what we do with how we're interacting. And I don't think that, for instance, I'm born in May, so I'm considered a Taurus. I don't think that is the definition of who I am. I think it might be part of what's influencing me, but there's hundreds of other factors. So I don't know about you, but I like looking at my horoscope every so often, and I get bored usually halfway. I almost hate admitting that. I kind of get bored halfway, and I go, you know, I could read this any way I want. Sort of like if you're not tracking your intuition and you're just more in your Memorex or your well-wishing, and I just go, you know, I better just make the day what I want to make the day.
Yeah, that's exactly how, I mean, I do pay attention to it kind of the way you do. Like I'll just to see, you know, just because I'm curious. I'm really into the older astrology anyways for other purposes, traditional Renaissance astrology, but the subtle energy thing is something that I really want to talk to you about when we come back from our break, because it is something that I've noticed that's very real. And I went through about it through, you know, ritual and meditation, and that actually I've been very doubtful about it for as long as I've done this. But here, just this past year, my doubts have just kind of, they're gone. Like, I know the subtle energy that all of the esoteric scholars talked about, all of these, I know it's real now. And so, yeah, I'd like to talk about that when we come back from the break. And, if you can, real quick, can you give out your social media sites, too, so everybody can find you there for reference while they're listening before we go into the break?
Yeah, it's just Cindy Dale, C-Y-N-D-I, and then Dale, D-A-L-E. So that's where you find me. My Instagram is Cindy Dale Energy.
Fantastic. Thank you. We'll be right back with Cindy Dale. You guys stay with us. We'll open up the phones later, too, if you got any questions. You can join the Fringe FM chat room as well by going to thefringe.fm/chat room. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
listening to KTLK, The Fringe FM.
Please listen. Now is not the time to fear. When your immune system is strong, shields up. You have very little worries. If your immune system is compromised, you're susceptible to all viruses. I say shields up and no fear. Try HeartLove from GetTheTea.com. HeartLove has a special ingredient called allicin. It comes from the healing part of the garlic plant. No garlic breath, no garlic leaking out your pores, just pure immune-building ingredients that gets your shields up. HeartLove is a unique blend of herbs that loves to build you up. Google garlic and know the benefits. One HeartLove pill is equal to 20 cloves of garlic. 20 cloves! Shields up. You've heard of our Life Change Cleansing Tea at GetTheTea.com. Now try HeartLove. And by the way, take your blood pressure and watch weekly what happens. So here's how to purchase. Log on to GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. And build your shields. That's GetTheTea.com. Mention Ray in the coupon code and hit apply and receive free shipping.
Hi, this is Kronox from Belgium, and you're listening to Lighting the Void with Joe Roop.
Want to know what's on The Fringe FM? Check out our schedule at thefringe.fm.
Born out of the alchemical tradition of Paracelsus is a medical tradition called Spagyria. Though not many people practice this work today, Phoenix Aurelius has been researching and teaching this work for the last 15 years, and he needs your support.
Hi, I'm Phoenix Aurelius, and I'm the founder of the Phoenix Aurelius Research Society, where I perform modern scientific research on the methods and techniques of Paracelsian alchemy and Spagyria for health, wellness, agriculture, ecology, and more. All my work is 100% funded by the public, so if you like what I'm doing and you want to support my research, please consider making a purchase of Spagyric medicines from my apothecary, fund your own Spagyric IDF wellness research, or participate in my group study or one-on-one immersion courses so that you can learn how to perform this work for yourself. I want to thank you in advance for your support.
Visit thefringe.fm/alchemy research and enter coupon code FRINGE and receive 15% off anything and everything on the website. That's thefringe.fm/alchemy research, and thank you for doing your part and keeping alchemy alive in the modern day.
Hey, this is country music singer and void walker Jason Benoit, and when I need my fix on the world of magic and the capabilities of the human consciousness, I listen to Joe Roop right here on Lighting the Void Radio.
This is Malorcas 45, fan of The Fridge FM, challenging everyone to open their mind's eye. Listen to Lighting the Void with Joe Roop to gain precision for your third eye vision.
This is Barbara Charlton from Metaphorical Archaeology. If you've ever had a traumatic paranormal experience, the effects of it may stay with you for years. Who do you talk to? You can't go to conventional help. What we do is we use emotional freedom techniques or tapping to actually neutralize the effects of that event. Maybe when you tell the story now, your heart races and your palms get sweaty. You don't even want to think about it because you don't know how to neutralize that. That's what EFT tapping does. It neutralizes those emotions. The circuit that was recorded on is gone. The energy flows freely and you're free of it. And that's what emotional freedom is all about. We offer this as a pro bono service, but this is something that I offer because no one, it seems, is helping people with these experiences. If you'd like to reach me, it's really easy. My cell phone is 214-995-3754. Please leave a message. I will get back to you as quickly as possible. Or you can email me, barb.eft@gmail.com. And EFT stands for Emotional Freedom Techniques. Reach out to me. It's confidential. This works. You won't believe the results.
You're listening to Lighting the Void Radio.
All right, welcome back to Lighting the Void. Our guest tonight, Cindy Dale, intuitive healer, energy healer, and 27 books. That's, you know, I was talking to Marie D. Jones last night, who's another author I really like, and she wrote quite a few books too. At 27, that's That is a lot of writing that you've done, and I'm very impressed with that, just got to say. But here's the question I have for you, and I hope you're still with me, right? I didn't lose you but in the transition.
No, I'm still here. I'm just sort of astonished at 27 books, too, to be honest.
Yeah? Is it right? Is that correct? That's how many books you
it
got
is
out?
Right.
Okay. I don't want to say the wrong thing.
Yeah, it's sort of phenomenal. I feel tired when we talk about it, though.
Yeah, I bet. How did you come about understanding what subtle energy is? Like, this is something that it doesn't really matter what mystery tradition you belong to. They all speak of this as if it's something that you have to learn and develop or learn to tap into. At what point in your life did you start tapping into this?
Well, and they all talk about it. Greek, Mayan, Russian, it makes no difference. So we've known about this forever. I was a little kid. I was one of those anomalies. I don't know the right word. Sometimes I just say weird. I like anomaly a little better. So when I was a little kid, I could see things other people didn't see. I could see colors coming off my mom or my dad. I heard ghosts. I heard spirits. I remember one night laying in bed, and we lived in Huntsville, Alabama, with a railroad behind us, and there would be hobos. And, you know, we call them hobos or tramps, and that's kind of the language we used back then. They'd hop on and off the carts. And one night, I knew that I heard them come into the kitchen and make breakfast and talk. And I could see these shadows at the end of a hallway, and I knew it was the hobos. And I listened to them talk, and I was terrified. I was just laying there in bed like, oh, my gosh, are they going to hurt us? And I mean, honestly, they were just chit-chatting. And when I heard them leave the kitchen, the screen door slammed, the regular door slammed, my first thought was, oh my gosh, they didn't do the dishes. You know, when you're a kid, you're tuned into what your mom's going to be mad about. And I didn't hear the fry pan. I had heard them make bacon, like sizzle when you pour the water in it. So I ran into my parents' rooms and I said, the hobos were in there. They made breakfast. They didn't do the dishes. And my mother rolled over and muttered, like, here she is making things up again. And my dad was like, okay, Cindy, you're just making things up. There's nothing going on. I'll show you. Takes me by the hand, brings me into the kitchen. And of course it's spick and span clean and there ain't no bacon fry pan. So, but I heard them and it wasn't a dream because I remember seeing the shadows on the wall. So I didn't, you know, I knew that my parents didn't like me to talk about it, but that didn't result in me telling myself it's not real. To me, that was real because a red color coming off my mom meant she was going to get mad. And you know what? She was going to get mad. So I could see little fairies or beings or this or that. And it took me till probably, oh, I don't know, 8, 9, 10, somewhere around that, to really get that other people weren't going there. They didn't see energy bodies. And I didn't have the word energy bodies back then, of course. You know, they didn't see orbs of light and this and that and the other thing. And so I just sort of shut the gift down during my teen years, and it started opening up again when I went into therapy. But I didn't know about esoteric traditions because I was Lutheran. We didn't. But I'll tell you what I did do, Joe. I started reading the Bible in third grade. I read really young. In third grade, I started reading the Bible, and I saw stuff in there the pastor wasn't talking about. I saw Joseph using a cup to do predictions, and I saw these priests using dice to figure out what God wanted to say. And I saw that there were angels.
They did cast lots, for sure.
They cast lots. Yeah, and I saw them doing predictions and some guy talking to a mule, and I saw stuff in there that no one talked about in church. So it gave me a sense of sanity, and it gave me a sense of okayness. I couldn't talk about it because that was sort of bizarre. My dad said, well, that could take you down the wrong road. But if you look, like you're saying, in any tradition, there's supernatural, there's energy, there's parts of us that are just like our physical body, but they can't be seen. So that I started young, and I just needed to acquire language and words to explain it to myself.
Ah, okay. Yeah, because, you know, isn't it funny? We see, I mean, I remember, like, literally manifesting things, and I've talked about it on the show before, just weird things in my vision. That I, like, goblins or whatever it was, my eyes were open. You know, I saw them. But the more I think our parents tell us that, well, that stuff's not real, it's all in your mind. Yeah, well, I wish I could, I'm just saying, to this day, I wish I could do it. I wish I could go back and do that again. But I think because I've programmed myself to think that I'm crazy or that's not real, that it's hard to feel that energy again. Like when we were young, I do think we all, at least I know I did, I felt all kinds of things, you know? Do you feel like we get kind of numb as we get older? Some of us do.
I think we get numb, and I think we're programmed biologically to fit in, to be like our clan members. So if the clan members aren't seeing spaceships in the sky or this or that, we're not going to. I do hope it's changing. It's different in other countries. I've done a lot of studies and practices in other countries, and a lot of places it's really open. They believe in this stuff. They'll go see the medicine man. And I do think there's still kids now that are being supported. I remember a mom bringing her 12-year-old son into me just a year or two ago, and he wouldn't talk. A lot of times they won't talk. And, you know, I sat across from him and her, and she said, you know, go ahead and tell her, you know, what you want to ask about, and he wouldn't. So I just sort of tuned in, and I said, so I bet you see things, don't you? And he goes, yeah. And she said, go ahead and tell her. He goes, no, I'm not going to tell her. And I said, so you do you see people from other planets? I could see this stuff in my head. And he goes, yeah. And I said, are they like sort of your age? He goes, yeah. And then he told me, he goes, yeah. Like it started when I was in the movies about a year ago. I was sitting in the movies and this girl, this blue girl, just flew in and sat next to me and started talking to me. And he said, I see these blue kids. And we started talking about it. And I had this amazing vision of him holding hands, you know, with these other beings. And then him, he's super science. He's a science geek. I said, I think you're going to invent some really cool ways that we can connect with each other. And he goes, yeah, but what am I? I'm just so weird. And what popped in my head to say, I'm sure it was my own head, but I think it was a cool thing to tell a kid. I said, well, you're an X-Men. You're like one of the X-Men. I said, yeah, so you just be an X-Men, and you'll find other X-Men, and you guys can start some really cool stuff for this planet. And he got this image in his own head of him holding hands with other people as he grew older, helping this planet. I mean, helping literally with climate and this and that and the other thing. So where it could lead us, it's sort of exciting, isn't it? Like if we just could keep our kids a little open, safe, right? You don't want just any riffraff talking to you, especially if you're a kid.
Right.
But if you can keep boundaries and safety, this is, I think, where creativity comes from, and insight and inventiveness. I mean, it's sort of, I get off on thinking about what if we could just open to subtle energy? What if an inventor could? What if a botanist could? What if an what if an agriculturalist could?
Well, I can tell you right now, the guy that comes, he's been on this, you might want to check into his work. He does spagyric alchemy, is Phoenix Aurelius. He's actually doing scientific IDF studies with alchemy and, you know, recording the energies and everything that's happening along with the planetary alignment. So he's kind of, it is a way to look into subtle energy, you know.
It is a way.
Right.
Agreed. And I think we'll be inventing machines that will get more precise about using inaudible sounds and light to do healing work. We're already doing it. It's just really hard to find that data. It's out there, but you've got to really surf for it because, well, even a scientist will tell you, like, if you take a physical object, 99.999% of it, guess what, is not physical energy. It's subtle. It's not seen. We can't observe it. That includes the quantum particles, but, you know, all kinds of other stuff that I think we've yet to label. So most of reality is not solid. It's all moving. There's space between spaces. So how do we negotiate that? And, you know, how do we let our bodies tune into that so that if we need to, we can disappear a tumor?
Yeah.
I've had clients disappear tumors. I've seen people get rid of arthritis overnight. I worked with one guy in a class, and his name is Larry, really great guy, landscaper. And he came to this class. I taught it in this sort of cool, super little church out of Denver. And he had knee pain. He was probably going to have knee surgery in both knees because he was a landscaper and used them a lot. We did subtle energy work. We figured out what type of energy was stuck. There was a lot of emotional stuff in there. You know, and the class kind of helped move it down from his knees. And he came the next morning and he goes, my knees are completely fine. But now the energy is stuck in my ankles. I can hardly walk. So could we just move it out of my ankles too? So we all have a lot to learn about this, but subtle energy and physical energy, one turns into the other. They're not as separate as our brains would think. You know, we have this split brain, you know, we have this sense of east-west, but one turns into the other, and the other turns into the one. So it's more of a matter of, you know, how do you negotiate the appearance of it and the movement of it?
This is something that we talk about in the Astral Journal a lot in the patron group. There are methods that, and I'm curious about how what you do with your subtle body immersion, but there, I wonder how close or how consciousness affects it. Because I am not one of these people that believe in just the five senses. I mean, that's like saying science knows everything that's real. Because they know the least of what's real, probably. But when it comes to consciousness, all of the different things that I've done, all of the methods, and, you know, Wim Hof, all these different meditation methods that we learn,
yeah.
It feels like the two are directly connected to me with each other.
They are connected. They are. It is about consciousness. And there's so many studies now, intention experiment. And, you know, honestly, you can just talk to a master. And I don't mean that in a way of saying these people are better than any other people. They don't think that. They're more aware. They're more conscious. They can sense the movement of the energy. They can sense what's present, and they have a peacefulness inside. So if they just direct their consciousness a little to the left or a little to the right, guess what? The object can move a little to the left or the little to the right. It's consciousness and connection as well. I mean, we are unconsciously creating all the time, and we just don't pay attention to it. You talked about the subconscious, and, you know, the subconscious powers most of what we're doing, what we're thinking, but we're not aware of it. So if we raise our awareness of what we're really focused on, what we're paying attention to, that's what moves energy. That's what calls energy out of the void. You know, talk about your show. You know, the void is everywhere. The void is they talk about it as a vacuum state in which all possibilities exist. But what calls them out of the void, it's consciousness. It's really frequency. If you hold a frequency and you hold it in such a way, you're aware of it, you're sort of humming with it,
mm-hmm.
You call other frequencies to you. So it is a science, but it's the science of consciousness. It's a science of awareness. And you can do bad things with it as well as good things. I remember years ago when I was traveling, meeting a former monk who said that he quit his order. It was a secret order, you know, a secret monastery where they took in Russia, and they took contracts actually to assassinate people with their thoughts. I mean, isn't that scary? but that's consciousness. You know, they would, the group of them would focus on whoever the contract was out on, And they would sort of adjoin their thoughts. And when you adjoin thoughts, you create light and or you create sound, which is focused energy. And literally, the subject would be found dead the next day. They'd call it a heart attack. You know, it would be called an aneurysm or whatever it might be. But that's almost the simple use of consciousness, but the wrong use of consciousness, too.
Yeah, that is, man, that's a little scary. Yeah, hope you don't want to get on that list,
right? I don't
teach
that. I don't go for that.
You know, but people can say what they want to. Usually they go from and I'm coming at this from a skeptic's point of view, because they say a lot of stuff, right? But then you'll hear these guys reference people like Yeats and all of these people that were in these esoteric orders that were well-known scholars and stuff. Some of the most, I guess, the best of the best when it comes to we as a people. But, you know, earlier you were talking about most people want health, wealth, kind of relationships thing. But then I think you're totally right. Like right now, it's all about the freedom to express yourself, I guess. I'm trying to explain it in that way, like, 'cause that is what we really want to do with our energy besides love and experiences, to express ourselves, you know, individually.
I think it is. And, you know, I think that's the call of the soul. That, and these days, even skeptics, even people who don't know what a chakra is or energy or intuition, I mean, everybody has a sense of intuition, but they may just sort of pass it off as, like you said, coincidence or something. These days, people are going, this is it. This is what humanity is creating. This is how we treat each other. Mm-hmm. And some of the at least resulting isolation, I think, is forcing kind of a compulsion of the soul to say, look, I don't have as many distractions unless they're scary, right? Or they make me nervous, or I want to do something with my anger, or fight against this or that or the other thing. But if people stay inside, and we're inside a lot more too, then you start feeling your soul. And the soul is like, look, I'm here. I've chosen to be here. So what am I to do with this? How am I to be who I am? How am I to share and show who I am? I like to use the word emerging, because I feel like we have an opportunity, and we've had this opportunity as humanity many, many times. The Hindus even say there have been four ages. The Greeks say there have been five ages on this planet. We always go downhill at the end. That doesn't mean we need to, though. So I think our individual souls are saying, how am I going to emerge from this, and how can I recreate what's here? How can I take what's in my life, or how can we take what's in the world and recreate something with it, something more beautiful? And that can sound esoteric, that can sound philosophical, but I think we are esoteric and philosophical.
Yeah, I think we are too. I just don't know where we're going from here with the whole COVID thing. We're not able to do things like we used to, energetically in a tribal fashion. To me, there was, and I know I keep saying this, and I'm not trying to whine, I'm just telling people what I miss. Like there's nothing more energetic to me than like a concert, or even going to like a rave party or something where you can feel this tribal energy of people that, and yeah, I know when people get together, they act silly, but that's just something maybe that I'm going to miss, is that. I hope that comes back. I hope we can get together and have events and do these things, because I don't want to be trapped in this virtual world where we're behind computers and we get to go to the store every now and then. I'm kind of curious as to what you think about energy as far as that's concerned. When we're so detached from each other, is that going to hurt us or help us?
It can go either way, and I think it's on the individual. I do think it forces that cocooning, and it forces a relook, a reexamination. Our old stuff has to come up because there's no place to displace it. Well, there is. You can still go to a liquor store, right?
Yeah, right.
You can
numb it for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. There's still outlets to do anything but deepen and figure out new ways to reach. I think the tribal will come back, and I hear you on that. I miss it too. My 21-year-old is a baseball player. I miss baseball. Now, we're back. Baseball's back to some extent. Like, on this level, his college level, I can't tell you how happy I've been that I've gone to two baseball games. Because I don't think we can do everything just tribally. I mean, internet is energy. I mean, telephone is energy. All this stuff is energy. But it's hard to feel it. I met a Guatemalan shaman years ago, and he talked about how in his culture, they would make tribal decisions. So talk about tribal energy. Like, but what they would do is, let's say there's a question. It would be brought to all the adults, the whole community, and everybody would talk at once. They just talked. And he said, nobody, there wasn't anybody standing in the middle of the floor. It wasn't like, you know, they drew like a, like, you know, on the board with ABCs. They just all talked. And he said, you know what? Everybody would stop talking all at once, and we'd have arrived at a group decision. Everybody would end up with the same decision. So that's pretty interesting. Yeah. And I mean, that would be really cool if we could get back there again, wouldn't it, to be that bonded? I think we'll come back. I think there'll be groups. And I think, though, we've lost our innocence as the entirety of a planet. You know, something like a virus doesn't, it just flies around. It doesn't stop at territory lines. It doesn't care if it's crossing state lines or country lines. That can be positive because it means we really are all on this boat together. We really are. And maybe we can understand that. And I mean, I think there'll be a vaccine. I don't care who likes vaccines or who's not. I'm not going down that road. But I think we'll get enough of a play on this that it turns into an endemic rather than a pandemic. It's just sort of there like the flu. But we're not done now. You know, we're complicated. We haven't been treating the earth right. We've got climatic issues. So can we come together and solve some of these bigger problems? I think that's the bigger question also. Yeah.
All right. Well, look, when we come back, we're at the top of the hour already. So when we come back from the break, we're going to discuss some of these methods that you use on immersions and how we could probably learn to feel our energetic bodies with Cindy Dale. Stay with us. More to come. We'll be right back.
Your host, Joe Roop.
All right, man, this is Crow 777, and you are listening to The Fringe FM.
When you're in the house for longer periods of time, you can see them flying or running across the floor. Ooh, yuck. They're unhealthy, gross, and disgusting. Bugs. I loathe bugs. We keep a clean home, but occasionally bugs show up. Well, I found something that is tougher than bugs. Orange Guard. On contact, it kills hidden bugs, including ants, roaches, and fleas. Plus, Orange Guard is a residual repellent. All of the ingredients of Orange Guard are on the FDA generally recognized as safe list. Orange Guard may be used around food, humans, and pets. It comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee. Orange Guard, available at orangeguard.com, Whole Foods, and Ace Hardware.
This is all. I listen to Lighting the Void because it's interactive radio with good content, interesting guests, and a humble host sharing his journey through the esoteric. Hey, Joe Roop. Thanks for having us along for the ride.
Thank you so much. What a delightful evening.
Well, I got a lot of ground to cover.
You're listening to KTLK, The Fringe FM.
We all have that story to tell in our lives. The winds were howling. The ground shook. You could hear rushing water. And then history repeats itself. When there's no power, refrigeration fails. Stores with their shelves stripped bare. ATMs can't operate. Deliveries stop. Then what? These events can last days or weeks. You need a plan. In statements made during recent interviews, FEMA Administrator Brock Long has repeatedly urged all Americans to understand three truths. FEMA is broke. The system is broken. If this is the new normal, Americans can't rely on federal cavalry when disaster strikes. Don't get caught out in the elements empty-handed. Prepare with us by going to preparewiththefringe.com and get your two-week food supply, 92 servings, 8 food varieties with 25-year shelf life, normally $137, now only $75. Or get a month's supply, normally $247, now only $147, shipped in one business day. Just go to preparewiththefringe.com or call 888-440-7931. That's 888-440-7931. Get this great offer and be prepared while it lasts.
Hey, is that a new music app?
Yeah, check it out. Surfer Music Discovery. It links to thousands of online stations, but the twist is you see the song names and artists that are now playing live.
That's different. No guessing. Looks like a waterfall of music.
So many formats. Rock, oldies, country, R&B, jazz, and a whole lot more.
How's that spelled?
Surfer. S-U-R-F-R.
Is it expensive?
It's free. No need to sign up or sign in.
Get the Surfer Music app free from Google Play or the App Store.
Ready to open your mind? It's Lighting the Void with your host, Joe Roop.
Howdy, this is Catalina, and you're listening to Lighting the Void with Joe Roop.
This is the Rogie Report News on the Fringe FM. I'm Jess Rogie. SpaceX's Crew Dragon returned safely to Earth over the weekend. Just over 62 days ago, NASA astronauts Robert Behnken and Douglas Hurley left Earth for the International Space Station. SpaceX's Crew Dragon spacecraft touched down with the astronauts off the coast of Florida on August 2nd. NASA Administrator Jim Bridenstine explains what this mission means for NASA.
This was a great day for NASA and a great day for the United States of America. I want to thank our SpaceX partners and, of course, the Commercial Crew Program here at NASA. What an amazing day. Today, we really made history. We are entering a new era of human spaceflight where NASA is no longer the purchaser, owner, and operator of all the hardware. We are going to be a customer, one customer of many customers in a very robust commercial marketplace for human spaceflight to low Earth orbit. But we also want to have numerous providers that are competing against each other on cost and innovation and safety, driving down costs and increasing access to space in a way that's never been seen before. So this is really an amazing day. But we also need to remember that this is just the beginning. Now is the time to capitalize on all of the great programs that have recently been established, to include going sustainably to the moon under a program we call Artemis. When we think about the Artemis program, we're going to the moon sustainably. We're going to go with commercial partners and international partners. We're going to use the resources of the moon to learn how to live and work on another world for long periods of time. We're going to take all of that knowledge and we're going to go to Mars. This is an amazing moment. And the Commercial Crew Program has really just proven the business model for how we go forward, and we do more than we've ever been able to do before.
I said it before, and I'll say it again, there is a lot of money to be made in space. Prepping for a Zoom call can be scary. In the time of COVID, Zoom calls have become a common way to keep connected. British film director Rob Savage came up with the idea for a film while sheltering in place. The movie takes place entirely on Zoom and during the pandemic. How proper. Savage said in order to capture the realism, he actually used Zoom to film. The movie follows six friends whose weekly Zoom call goes dark when they decide to conduct a séance. Host is now available on Shudder. This is the Rogie Report News on the Fringe FM. I'm Jess Rogie.
This
message is being broadcast by the Department of Defense of the Republic. At 2 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, multiple unidentified objects were confirmed to have entered Earth's atmosphere.
Discovery Houston, 20 seconds to LOS speed drift.
The first message that comes to you is you are a divine being. You matter. You count. You come from realms of unimaginable power and light, and you will return to those realms.
The vast stretches of the unknown and the unanswered and the unfinished still far outstrip our collective comprehension.
Broadcasting from Forest Tower Studios, all the way from the Deep South. Now, here is your host, Joe Rubin.
And welcome back to Lighting the Void. We're here at the top of our second hour. Our guest tonight, author, intuitive healer, Cindy Dale, is with us. And as we come back into the show, I got to give a big warm shout out to the people that make this show happen, all of our donors and our patrons. I want to welcome Corey to the Voidwalker Patreon family. Thank you so much for signing up, Corey. I really appreciate that. A Little Mo Peep, Ricky, Dave, Barbara, Tammy, Jen Alaska, is that right? Robin, Kelly, Kimberly, Andrew, Saman, Abby, Janine, James, Tammy, Kristen, Alyssa, Amanda, Connie, Debbie, Jose, no way, Jose, Diane, Tom A, Tom Wolf, Malorcus, Teresa, Lynn, Nick, Kathleen, Macon, and B. You guys are what keeps this alive. And we're here for you 5 nights a week from 9 p.m. Pacific to 11 Pacific. And I know people are wondering, when are you going to start talking about the weird and the strange, Joe? What's all this spiritual mumbo jumbo stuff? I'm telling you, there's a reason for it, and it's not mumbo jumbo. And if you want to get into the weird and the strange, you got to learn how to tap into this stuff. And there's probably nobody doing it better out there than Cindy Dale. You've been doing this for quite some time now, and I do see that you were in one of my favorite shows. I didn't know that. Like, you got to play a small role in Iron Fist. That's cool. Did you?
No, I know. Isn't that cool? That made me feel really proud of myself.
Were you nervous?
I had a book in Iron Fist.
Yeah, were you nervous when you did that, though?
No.
No, not whatsoever, huh? You knew what you were doing.
No.
Okay.
So I tell you, you're right. This stuff about intuition and energy, it's the basis of the weird and the strange.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well,
it's why it happens.
We talk about magic so much on the show, but I try to tell people, I'm like, you know, this whole Golden Dawn magic thing that where people are, they're going through all of these different systems to learn magic and stuff. However, they don't realize that once they get out of that system, these, what they call adepts, magical adepts, they ain't drawing circles and stuff no more. Most of the time they're meditating, they're going into the internal realms. They're developing their subtle energy bodies. That's what it's all about. It's what the whole thing is about.
That's exactly what it's about. And you walk around with your subtle bodies all the time. So you can go join this group or read this place or, you know, kind of study anything you want. But the truth is, you're just looking externally for a way to tap into what's already inside of you. We have energy centers. We have energy channels. We have energy fields. Some of them are measurable. Most of them are not. So that's what they're doing. They're meditating and they're getting in touch with their spirit so they can work with, you know, kind of assess and steer the subtle energy. That's it. That's what everything in this world is about.
So when you do these immersions, I don't know what you can talk about and what you can't talk about, but how do you take it under like it's hypnosis or is it something different?
Yeah, so the immersion is a very intense 6 hours that I spend with somebody. So there's a bit of a breaking down that happens when you're really on, you know, kind of one-on-one, looking inside, being inside. So think about it. You're in a room with somebody. I mean, these days we can work obviously virtually, you know, as well. So what we're doing is kind of like parting the Red Sea and asking asking for that person's soul to become really apparent. So I may look for past lives that have created wounds or that had occurrences, you know, of great gifts that the person used to use, and we bring them back online. You know, right now we may look at childhood wounds. I may go into somebody's potential futures and take a look at what might be optimum and what do they need to shift right now so they can bring that future into who they are right now. Sometimes we look at other planets. I was teaching I teach a class for a bunch of Chinese students, and now we're into studying shamanism. I was doing that early this morning. And we were talking about what other planets you had been alive on. Because 26 cultures on our planet, at the very minimum, tell in their lore that their people came from other planets. And they had other abilities when they came here. They knew more how to levitate, or they knew how to do more telepathy or work with stones in order to direct energy, or any number, you know, of these activities that are really all about how do you manage the subtle energy. And one of the women in the class, I did a guided meditation to have them remember what they'd done on another planet. And she remembered, like, being able to fly. Another woman remembered being able to hear what it is that animals were communicating. Another remembered being able to move the waters and the seas. On this planet, we have stories of people who can and who did do all those things. So in an immersion, I'm not only helping people work through their blocks or their issues or why they can't be everything they want to be, you know, what's in the way, what creates these negative patterns, but what's deep inside, what are your powers and how do you open them back up in this body, in this world? I told a story to my Chinese students this morning about working with a woman last week. We did just that. We did an immersion and brought her back in history. She remembered being on a different planet, being a very powerful, natural being, you know, being able to, you know, kind of move energy and get her food, you know, kind of from the energy coming off of the fruit rather than eating the fruit. And she also remembers talking to an oracle, a being there, who showed her all the negativity that was going to be in the universe. And once she saw that and was hearing the oracle on a different planet speaking to that, my client shut down her power. She shut down her ability to perceive clairvoyantly or see pictures. She shut down her ability to hear spiritual guidance or hear the psychic guidance. And, you know, what she was working on in our immersion, she was working on eyesight problems and TMJ, like a jaw pain that she'd had for decades and decades. After we worked with that situation and she reopened the abilities, the subtle abilities to perceive pictures, to interconnect, guess what? Her eyesight is absolutely fine and her jaw opened up. She doesn't have any more jaw pain. So that's where we start to get into the strange and the unusual, is what we're experiencing we don't like, where did that start? It's not just childhood. It is childhood, but it's often not just childhood. And even if we solve those question marks, is there something beautiful that we can open up to bring us more online with these abilities and powers that are innate inside of each of us?
Yeah, that's so. When you say power, what are we talking about here? Psychic power?
Spiritual powers. I like the word spiritual. I mean, sometimes they're psychic, you know, sometimes they're about seeing, hearing, but sometimes they're just about like empathic abilities and ability to understand another person or be merciful or some, you know, it doesn't have to all be woo-woo. Some people's gifts are just being a really good administrator. They can manage I'm not that person, but they can set up a structure and it gets a business exactly where it needs to go. So those are innate abilities that we each have. We have shared ones. I mean, we all to some extent can get images in our head. To some extent, we can all be a good administrator, but we're also really unique and we have ways of being that are really different because we're all different.
Well, I don't know where, I think that's where you were talking about earlier, where people want to know, you know, they come to you, they say, I want to know what is my purpose? Like, why am I here? And I always feel like it's insane to me when people don't see that, like, not insane, like they're not like they're stupid, but insane, like you don't see what your the gifts you have. I can talk to anybody and pretty much find out how they can express themselves or help them express themselves until they find out what it is they really want to do. And I think that if you can find a way to do that and make a living or make it be your profession or even just get close to it, then you've accomplished something great, you know?
Yeah. And that would be one of your gifts. I would call that spiritual empathy, being able to get that sense of their true self and help kind of, you know, call it out of them too. And I think it's really fun when people get that, you know, we have to normalize these gifts at some level to make a living out of them, right? But we don't have to color within the lines all the time. You're not, I'm not. I have one client who called me several years ago, didn't tell me much about her. I was doing a session with her. I'm very intuitive. I get a lot of pictures in my head. Okay. And so I kept getting this picture of her. She wouldn't talk about herself, marrying a prince in a castle. And I'm like, oh, Cindy, you don't want to talk. You don't want to say this. You sound like an idiot. You sound like you've been doing too many reality or unreality shows. But it's the only set of images I could get. So I said to her, this is what I'm getting. And she started laughing. She said, I did marry a prince, and it was in a castle. So, and she said, it's sort of like a fairy tale because, you know, she went on and on with the drama that ensued after that. But what she wanted to know was, she said, I want to know if you can perceive what makes me really unique. Like, what are my gifts? What are my abilities? And what popped into my head was this. I said, you can write a story. I don't know if she could speak it, but I knew she could write it. You can write a story and the ending will come true. Joe, I would love to have that gift. Wouldn't you just walk around and interview people and write happy endings to their stories? And I said, have you ever done this? And she said, I've done it 3 times. One of the stories I vividly remember is she was working with a friend's child, little boy, when he was 6, he had leukemia. She wrote a story where he was healed. And you know what? Within a few days of the story being ended, his leukemia went away. And And I was like, you really need to use this superpower. I said, this is a beautiful gift. She called me back maybe 2 years later. She hadn't used it. She wasn't using it. She was making her living as a graphic artist in set. And I'm like, well, at least do graphic comic books with happy endings or something. But I think sometimes people are most afraid of what is most essential or unique about them, too, because it does make you stand out. But I've seen people with gifts. Again, it can be being a good administrator. I had a woman who came to me and she was working on that whole, what should I do when I grow up? And she was like 50. Okay, so we can ask that question anytime we want. And it's always about what's unique, how can you bring it out, how do you serve self and others with it? And I said, you know what, you do have the administrative gift. I said, you are an amazing, you could file all the papers, you know, that the Congress puts out every day. I said, you're amazing. And she goes, I am. And she began a business. She called it something like the Fairy Filer, F-A-I-R-Y, Fairy Godmother Filer, or something like that. And she got business instantly. She was gifted at it. She loved doing it. And it made people's lives different. So I think it's that compulsion inside, and we need to be willing to be different in order to follow it too.
Do you think that's the thing? Is I've found that too, is a lot of people don't feel like they're accepted. I think being different is great, right? Like, be different and be okay with who you are and know that there's nobody on the planet like you. There may be people that you relate to, and there may be others that you relate to really well, but nobody out there is really like you. We should celebrate that more.
Yeah, we should. And then look at school. I mean, I had a teacher point out to me once that when people are adults, if you're an accountant, you're not necessarily expected to also be a good gardener. You can be, but it's not expected of you. So we put these kids in systems and then we rubber stamp them and say, you're supposed to be able to learn how to memorize history and speak Spanish and be good at this and draw. And you're evaluated based on all of that. It's great to have a broad education. I'm a believer in that. But it doesn't mean we're going to be good at every single subject. And yet we give people that message and we grade them based on that. So if you do find your way in your one unusual ability or activity, we're not really throwing support behind people, like in our family systems, in our schools. We're just not doing it. You're supposed to fit in. I'm with you. I think it's great to be different. I love being a mom because I've watched my boys as they grow up find their unusualities, you know, and the way that they're really different and totally not like anybody else, even if they're like, my one younger son is a college baseball pitcher, but you know what? He does his own thing. But he sort of gets in trouble sometimes with some of the coaches because he finds his way to train that's based on his body, and he uses energy methods, and he uses soul. He looks at his soul issues, and, you know, he's sort of on the edge. So even in a normal approach to life, we got to use the edge that we have too.
Yeah, I'm with you. Yeah, see, you and I agree on a lot. That's great.
We do. It's really good.
Yeah, because I'm not afraid to use what I have, and not just to get my way, because I'm not like that, I swear. I want everybody to be happy in every situation. But sometimes I feel like also too, like sometimes if we don't step in, and this is where me and my like friend Ryan Gable, who's the host that comes on after this, is sometimes you do need to step in and make things a little bit uncomfortable, you know, and you need to step in and do that and be unique to get people's attention when it counts, especially if you believe in something. And you know how, like, when you walk into a room and you can feel the tension and the energy, we kind of ignore that, but that's like, that's subtle energy too, right?
That's subtle energy.
Yeah.
Anytime you're sensing, feeling, or you can tell a friend is upset and they're pretending that they're absolutely fine, or you're sitting in a room and you don't just feel uncomfortability, but maybe you feel a darkness. So that's something that we're supposed to be able to talk about on this planet too, is some of that even more paranormal kind of stuff. I work with that in my work all the time. I remember working with a guy who called in from the East Coast. He was a plumber. His wife made him call. He didn't want to call. And he was like, this is weird. I don't do intuition. I don't understand what she's going to do. And I think he had arthritis and heart issues. And, you know, that was his presenting set of issues. And, you know, what we worked on is I kept seeing these images in my head that, you know, about like once, you know, he was a knight and he lived a long time ago and he was, you know, serving the good and he got defeated. And then there was an energy that attached to him and it's still around his neck and it's in his heart and it's this and that and the other thing. And he stopped me and he said, where'd you get that story? I go, I'm just seeing the story in my head. He goes, no, somebody, my wife must have told you that story. And I go, nobody's talked to me. And he was like, I've had that dream ever since I was a little kid. He goes, so you think that really happened? Like, I've really lived through that. I go, what do you think? I said, you know there's something dark attached to you. You know the story of it. I said, I'm just telling you something you already know. And with that acknowledgement, you know, he was easily able to let go of this sort of darkness that had attached to him. And guess what? He started feeling better. So when you're talking subtle energy, you're talking about noticing what's real about somebody, what their gifts are, maybe other spaces, other places, maybe childhood, maybe what's happening in their own house, maybe kind of if they're in the right car or not. You can talk about normal things as well as odd things, but sometimes you also talk about things about light and dark too.
Mm, yeah. Sometimes you got to get real, all right? I respect
that. You got to get real.
I respect that way more. It's not like I disrespect the people that don't, that avoid it, but avoidance behavior bothers me. It just does. I think there's a balance to it, though. There's a balance to everything. You don't want to push too hard, and you don't want to avoid stuff too much. But I try to keep people in my life that actually care about me and even love me. Like, I had this conversation. I don't want to get too personal here, but with Dan, and Dan is like my best friend, you know, he's the co-host that comes on here sometimes. He will not shine you on, especially if he thinks you're hurting yourself, you know, like he really cares, and he might get a little mean with you, but he wants whatever's hurting you to change because he cares. That's a big difference than somebody that just smiles at us and just tells us everything we want to hear all the time, you know.
Well, that's love, isn't it?
I think so, yeah.
Sometimes it's love, and love is truthful. It's kind. It doesn't always have to be nice. There's a difference, I think, between kindness and niceness. My friends are like that, too. It makes me, I'm watching my one dog, Lucky, like he's stretching here in front of me, and it reminds me of one of my really good friends who likes to lecture me when I'm not on track. She'll lecture me, and I take it in because she's nearly always accurate. She's a lawyer. She's very clear to the point. She'll call me Missy when she knows I'm misbehaving or missing something. She'll go, Missy, you need to take a look at this. And one time when Lucky, who's now 11, was a puppy, she came over and he was the tubby puppy. He was that puppy at the breeder who was first to the food bowl, right? He was very tubby. I had him 2 weeks. She looked at him. She goes, Missy, to me, she goes, you need to put that puppy on a diet. And you just can't feed that dog whatever that dog wants. And she's going, you know, heart disease and hip problems and this and that.
Yeah.
You know what? Well, you know what Lucky did? Lucky looked at her. He went over to the front door where she had left her boots, picked up one of her boots, dragged it into the bathroom, and plopped it in the toilet.
Oh, my God.
No kidding.
That's hilarious.
Isn't that great?
Yeah.
So, subtle energy is real.
That's hilarious.
And, yeah, I know. So, what she was saying was loving, but Lucky didn't want anything to do with it.
My goodness. Well, we have one last break to do here, but I'm glad that you're getting your point across about this, because I don't think that, you know, we're going to talk about astral travel, and we talk about out of body experiences and magic and physics and quantum realm and everything strange and weird, but like at its base form, I've always kind of wondered what this was, and I'm starting to understand that it's energy, and it sounds so like woo-woo to some people, but it's not. There's some real science that's coming out about this too. So anyways, I'm rambling, and we should be going into the break. So we'll be right back, guys. More Lighting the Void coming up. Also, stay tuned for after the broadcast, The Secret Teachings with Ryan Gable. We'll be right back.
This is Sammy. Join us in the Deep South as we're lighting the void with Joe Roop on The Fringe FM.
The night is young, so turn up the heat with your host, Joe Roop, on Lighting the Void on The Fringe FM.
The Secret Teachings is the middle ground between the mainstream and alternative, between the official story and clickbait conspiracy. It lies between man's lack of critical thinking and his acknowledgement of discovering the patterns of nature. This is a radio show of objective analysis, from the occult to pop conspiracy and health. A show we call The Secret Teachings. You can catch the broadcast Monday through Friday on The Fringe FM, thefringe.fm, and www.thesecretteachings.info.
Hey Donald, YouTube recently banned our talk show host from their platform. Any idea why?
They're trying to take you out with bull.
Well put, Mr. President. KTLK, The Fringe FM.
Have you ever wanted to dream about being a character in your favorite video game or movie? Would you like to dream your fantasy with all five senses in detail and remember everything? It's time to bring the dreaming mind back online. Introducing Dreaming for Gamers from Ian Wilson.
Dreaming for Gamers will teach you how to program your dreams to dream what you want from any video game, movie, or source material that you choose. The courses help rehabilitate the dreaming mind out of atrophy so you can remember your dreams, taste, touch, smell, see, and hear, as well as be self-aware and take complete control over the dream state like Neo in The Matrix. You can't catch COVID in a dream, but you can wake up with a happy ending.
Type in thefringe.fm/dreamplay and sign up today to get dreaming now. That's thefringe.fm/dreamplay, or click the banner at thefringe.fm today and take the 7-day dream challenge for free while it lasts.
Permanent industrial glue impossible to remove? Not anymore. Because Handyman Formula by D-Bond is a patented chemical adhesive remover. It's used in the building and home maintenance industry, but now it's available for your home use, for your DIY projects. Unglue stickers, silicone rubber, labels, price tags, flex tape, weather stripping, carpet glue, wood glue, liquid nails, even 3M5200. And it dissolves graffiti. Yeah, graffiti. Handyman Formula by D-Bond works, and it's safe to use on most surfaces. No need to call a professional. Don't get out the pliers and blowtorch. Just apply a little Handyman Formula by D-Bond and wait 90 seconds, then quickly and easily pull the items apart. Get unstuck. Visit DBondHandymanFormula.com. That's DBondHandymanFormula.com, or call 561-575-4200. Handyman Formula by D-Bond.
Alex Exum.
This is Alex Exum of the Exum Experience in Live Talk, where we discuss current events, society, and culture. My shows are based in actuality, actual existence, contrasted with what was intended, expected, or believed. You can listen to me live Tuesdays at 7 p.m. only on KTLK, The Fringe FM.
Paranormal News. I'm Brad Bernards.
And I opened them up and they were seeds.
USA Today reports officials in several states said residents have reported receiving unsolicited packages of seeds in the mail that appear to be sent from China and are urging the public not to plant them.
So when I received this, I just thought, well, maybe it's just something extra from Amazon, but it just kind of seemed fishy to me.
WCHS ABC 8 says several agencies in Kentucky and West Virginia have reported residents receiving suspicious packages containing seeds or masks.
I seen it, and on the front of it, it said disposable mask, and I was like, I didn't order any masks. I like ripped it open, and they was in single packages.
The LHCb collaboration at CERN has announced the discovery of a new exotic particle, a so-called tetraquark. The paper by more than 800 authors is yet to be evaluated by other scientists, but has been presented at a seminar, according to reporting in Inverse.com. The finding marks a major breakthrough in a search of almost 20 years carried out in particle physics labs all over the world. George Zweig from CERN and Murray Gell-Mann from Caltech had struck upon the same solution. Zweig called these building blocks ACEs, while Gell-Mann chose the term that we still use today, quarks. Read about the news at parabnormalradio.com. I'm Brad Bernards, Parabnormal News.
All right, welcome back to Lighting the Void. If you're listening on whatever app, I got to remind you guys, wherever you're listening from, we are transitioning to a new service provider and a new app. So if you're using the old app, I would just to make sure that you always get the right programming. And I'm not saying that you're not going to hear anything that's not messed up, because you will be, because I've been doing this stuff on my, you know, like by myself for a while now. So that means stuff is going to get messed up every now and then. So if you hear it, just be patient with me on the station, but use the Paranormal Radio app or Talk Stream Live for right now, just so you know that you're getting the mainstream until our new app comes out. That's all I would say about that. Tomorrow night on the broadcast, we're going to have Sarah Dunn. Sarah Dunn wrote The Beginner's Guide to Alchemy, Practical Lessons and Exercises to Enhance Your Life. So we're really getting into this soul-enhancing, energetic-type stuff this week. And also, Thursday, we're going to have a Tom Zinser on, who's a lot of big talk right now. A lot of people are talking about his work, so he's going to be on as well. Tonight, our guest is Cindy Dale, who I really like talking to you. You and Marie, both, probably my new favorite people of the month.
Thanks. To talk to. I like that. I'm having a great time.
Well, it is. I mean, this whole thing about all the strange and weird, and it does feel like we're in a twilight zone. I can't say that enough. With everything that's going on now, it feels like we're in a weird twilight zone. I'm just asking you, have things been weirder?
Oh, we are. We are. And you know, and we keep on bringing things back to a matter of energy, which it is, because everybody's feeling that the energy is weird. I hear people who don't even know what I do. Like, I'll, you know, go to the grocery store and a couple people are talking 6 feet apart in line, and they're like, the energy's weird. Isn't this odd? And they don't use the phrase twilight zone all the time, but it's like, it's off. We're so off. Everything's off. But, you know, let's just define energy, because it is the beginning point and it's the end point. So, all scientists say everything's just made out of energy. It's just information that vibrates. Information tells something what to be or not. Vibration tells you how it's going to appear, or how you're going to interact with it, or how you're not going to. That's all it is. And there's energy that's more measurable, meaning it moves slower than the speed of light, like objects. But there's energy that moves faster or than the speed of light, and it just doesn't have mass to it. So there's sort of the science on what energy is about. So the stuff that's about paranormal, the stuff that isn't just about the virus, you know, or the racial riots or what we're going through, what people are trying to label is the subtle energy. That's what we're kind of trying to unpack, I think, tonight is, you know, there's like fear everywhere, but is there something good that we're trying to open up as a race also, you know, as humanity or
so.
As a planet?
I do
believe we are. We're trying to crack the nut and get the light out of it.
I think so too. We discussed this with the Patreon group a long time ago about how there was a change coming, and everybody felt it in their life. You talk to anybody one-on-one, if you really got to know them personally, there's some kind of big change that they were going through, and it's scary for a lot of people. It's scary. Now, some people thrive on change, but if you're a more practical, kind of grounded person, then you like comfort and you like things to stay the same. Change isn't so friendly, and it can be really scary. So I think that during this time, I would just ask anybody that's listening to this show that if you get that feeling or that energetic feeling from someone that is afraid of the change that's coming, just comfort them and let them know that it's going to be okay. Like, everything's going to pass. I think we're learning, and maybe you can help me with this too, that we're learning not only like how to depend on ourselves more, but how to be there for each other more as well, you know.
I think that's beautiful, and it's true. And that's kind of the paradox. We do have to go inside because we literally are going inside. So if we're more in our houses, we also need to be more in our soul, which is kind of everywhere at once, but it's also in the body. We're being invited to do the introspection. We're being invited to do the search through our history so we can project a different future. But we also have to take care of each other. I mean, I haven't for years done much volunteering because I'm still going to college baseball and raising my kid and doing this and that and the other thing. But when we went into the lockdown, I joined a group called Little Brothers of the Elderly. It's kind of a weird name, but it's a great organization. They match you with shut-ins, with elderly shut-ins. And I thought,
now is
the time you should do that, Cindy. Can you just imagine if you're older and you can't get out? And I got matched with the coolest guy. And he's 82 years old. His name is Otis. He ran one of the most successful jazz clubs for 20 years in St. Louis. And he's got a story for everything and everyone. And we started on the phone, but now I drive down there. I bring chairs, put them 6 feet apart. We sit outside of his apartment complex, and we talk. So that's, there's something all of us can do. Like if we're feeling locked down and lonely, find a way to reach out. Find somebody out there, and if, we're in a position like I am, where I'm mobile, I'm healthy, I have a lot of great stuff going on in my life. So why wouldn't I want to give to somebody who has a bit more of a challenge, kind of reaching out? So I think it's not just about subtle energy. It's about, let's be practical too. Mm-hmm. Like, how do we make love real? How do we make love really real? Because that's an energy. That's the ultimate energy.
Yep. I'm with you. I was just fixing that. It's like you're reading my mind. It does. It does. When I talk about this stuff, though, there's a voice in my head that's always like, oh, you're being mushy and woo-woo and you're going to run people off because people want the compelling. They want the interesting conspiracy stuff. And I'm like, we've been doing this conspiracy game for a long time now, haven't we? And if the power of the tongue is real and the power of our thoughts and intentions are real, which I think even the biggest conspiracy theorist deep down knows that's true. They know what they're programming into their life. I think it's time to change the movie, like Richard Allen Miller says. We can change the movie if we just stop lashing out with our tongue so much. And most of the time when we do that, we're just in pain anyways. And those people just really want love. Really, it is all about love. I sound like Bob Marley right now.
You do. Well, he got the message across and people followed him with that banner too. And it is mushy and it's also real. And I think some of the, like you're saying, conspiracy theories and let's go into the astral and this and that. And I love that stuff. I mean, I love looking at other planets and astral and do we have aliens walking amongst us, which I do believe that we do. And, can we talk to somebody in the fifth dimension, which I believe that we can do, all that stuff. There's still a reason that we go to the edge and beyond, mm-hmm. Or try to bring it into our lives. It's still a search for connection. It's still trying to figure out how to make healthy rather than unhealthy questions and, connections. The Hopis, I don't know why, but they're popping in my mind. There's a great book, The Book of the Hopi, by Frank Waters. It's been out a long time, and he talks about the Hopi's prophecy, but the ancient Hopi tribes. And the Hopis say that we've had four ages on this planet. They go downhill, we can go uphill. I'm just going to say that's enough of that one. But he talks about when humans first existed, when the creator created the humans. We already had plants. We already had animals, and they're supposed to be our teachers. And we just forgot that there's something else that we need to learn. But even back in the first age, we were connected enough to know that we each had an individual blueprint that went between us and the creator. And if we just kept that blueprint open and acted from it, sort of like the architecture of our soul, we would be healthy. We would be well. We could learn from the plants and animals. We could help each other. We could live a really long time, too, just to make it even more glamorous. And if a human got out of balance, their fellow humans would come up to them and then just put their, or the medicine person would, but they just put their hand on their head. There's an energy center on top of the head that connects us to our blueprint and just restore them to blueprint. And the blueprint's just love. It's just being connected in. And so I mean, I think it's simple. I think what we're searching for is simple, and I think it's already been here, and I think we already have it. We're just trying to uncover it is what we're trying to do. No matter what we talk about, I think we're trying to uncover it.
Yeah, that's very well said. What are your thoughts on, if you want to bring up magic manifestation, the whole secret kind of thing, where a lot of talk has been coming to the understanding that our focused thought, right along with our emotion, is what brings things into reality. And even, you know, there's a lot of speakers that are going around in circuits, like Dispenza, many other people talking about this, even bringing up biblical references that, you know, in the Gospel of Thomas, when Jesus was talking about making the two become one, he wasn't talking about two people. He was talking about matching your heart with your mind, or your emotion with your thoughts and your focus. A lot of people have talked about this, but I think it's just been like the double slit experiment, highly underestimated and overlooked. What do you think?
I completely agree. And I actually have an interesting story about that. Years ago, I was traveling in Morocco, and I was asking, like, before I went to bed one of the nights, like, how does manifesting happen? How do you manifest? I had a dream. In the dream, there was a guru, a Swami, and everybody was crowding into the Swami because he was teaching people how to manifest. And I couldn't get close enough to him in the dream, you know, but I almost did. Like, I forced my way through and I touched him, but I didn't get quite the secret. So about 6 months after that, this must have been like 20 years ago, 15 or something like that, I am at a seminar. A guy friend of mine said, I think you should come to this. And it features a Swami who was one of the teachers of Wayne Dyer. And he came into the room, and I looked at him. I thought, oh my God, he was the Swami in my dream. He knows how to manifest. So there's a crowd. I pushed my way through the crowd, being pushy, and I sat in the very front. I sat in front of all the chairs so I could be in front of everybody else, because I'm like, I'm going to get this. I'm not leaving here before he tells us what it is. The story he told was about a waitress who wanted money. And he said she wanted money. And he said, so what you have to do is focus on what you want. There's your focus thought. You know, focus, concentrate. And you put your emotion behind it. And he talked about how you have to bring your emotion up through your body all the way through so that it literally sort of activates you. And it really is activating your body and your, I believe, your energy centers too. And he said she started, but she also, because of that, started dressing differently. Like, I know it's kind of a weird story, but after she would work, she would dress into nice clothes and sit at the bar, because how else are you going to meet somebody with money if that's one way you can do it? But then to do that, she married a guy. He was a computer salesman. They started a computer company. She made a ton of money, even though they divorced. So, I mean, that's kind of the reality of how that story went. But that's what the Swami was saying. You focus and you emote. You bring all your senses and your emotions, especially your sense of joy. You take the determination out of anger. You take the need for safety out of fear. You can use any emotion energetically to propel you, because it puts out a subtle energy message that draws what you want to you and affects your own behavior. So I completely believe it, and it just brought up, you know, that manifesting lesson I went through forever ago that actually started in the subtle realm with the Swami coming into my dream, or me going into his dream, you know, to kind of teach the very same thing people are talking about today.
Yeah, it is the truth. So this is what we've learned about our own energy. Why are we not living on a planet exactly the way we want to? I know that there's a common answer for that. But if it's that simple, which I believe it is, why are we not manifesting a world that is totally opposite from what we're experiencing? What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think that's that collective unconscious. I mean, we can use whatever word we want, karma, collective unconscious. If I'm going to answer, I would say it's shame, however. I think there's some sort of, and I'm not going back into original sin versus this, there's somewhere within most of us where I think we have a deep sense of unworthiness, so we make decisions from that. And you can disguise unworthiness as, you know, wounds or rage or needing to fit in or competition or comparison issues or whatever you want to label them, but we're not owning it. We're not owning, I don't even think worthy, you need to own worthiness. It's just birthright. It's about who we are and needing to make that choice as an individual. Like, I am the light. And I don't just mean white light. We're every color of light. I mean, I am the light. I can come from that place. If I do that, yeah, maybe people are going to think I'm weird or this or that. But then maybe there's going to be more points of light. And then maybe we reach what they call that 100th monkey, where there's just enough of us, which might just be 0.05%, that we really do start remaking what this world's about. The Torah has a great passage, the Jewish biblical book, that it says, in the beginning, God created, you know, and they usually say G/D, God created the universe, but left it unfinished because it's for us to finish. And we can finish it any way we want. There's guidance, but we have to follow it also.
Left it unfinished. That's interesting. Huh.
Isn't it?
Yeah, I've never heard it put like that before, actually. That is interesting. Because it does feel that way. It kind of does feel unfinished. And that's what we're here to do.
It does. It is unfinished. I mean, science is kind of is proving that there's evidence that there was a pre-Big Bang, that there was a universe before the Big Bang, and it still exists. They're pointing to dark matter, cosmic background radiation, these twists of light in the universe that just have a very pure light in them. So there's evidence, I believe, that there's a beautiful sort of absolute light or goodness we can use and we can draw from with which to finish the universe. Kind of like those books, Harold and the Purple Crayon. I don't know if you ever read them. My kids did. You know, Harold has his purple crayon and he goes around drawing, you know, new rooms and jungles, and he has all these adventures and he just draws it all with a purple crayon. Like, we have a purple crayon. We have a light of goodness, and it's sort of like, are we using it? Where have we hidden it? We've sort of pretended it away.
That is so cute. That's true, though. I'm just saying, it's adorable.
Yeah, I know. I like the Harold thing. But, I can do that one.
Yeah, you're right. You're spot on with that. And I think you're doing good work, and people right now, you know, you kind of remind me of Barbara Charlton. She does the EFT tapping too with us at Metaphorical Archaeology. There's so many of you out there doing good things. I think we need you and other people that are doing this energetic work to help us discover, you know, love, why we're here, and how to express ourselves and how we find ourselves and who we really are. Because I think there's just a massive urge going on right now for that. It doesn't really matter how old you are. I think everybody's thinking about that right now. So I guess what I want to say is, yeah, I appreciate what you're doing.
Well, you're doing the same thing. You're opening it up and letting people kind of observe what their different choices are.
That's exactly what it is. The void is just about asking the right questions. That's all, right? So we don't know the answers to everything.
But the answers will come. Like we started talking about intuition, and you and I had chatted a little bit that you get your intuitive flashes on a need to know basis, right? So here we are. Yeah, there's uncertainty, but we'll be shown what we need to know as we need to know it. I mean, that's always happened. So we just sort of have to stay open.
Yeah, no, 100%. And thanks for coming on the broadcast. We'll have to do it again. Hey, before we go, though, if someone wanted to grab a book, you even got audiobooks, too. You can go to our website at cindydale.com. You can get the books, the audiobooks. But if somebody wanted to learn about understanding subtle energy, what book of yours would you recommend to grab?
I like Llewellyn's Little Bit of Chakras. I have an encyclopedia. Okay, Llewellyn's Little Bit of Chakras is little, so that's a good place to start. Also, a little book called Subtle Energy Techniques if you want to jump into the deep end easily and use subtle energy techniques. I have a really big encyclopedia, Subtle Body Encyclopedia. If you want to know everything about energy, it's in the encyclopedia.
Fantastic. Thank you for coming on the broadcast. It's really been a pleasure
speaking with you. My pleasure. It's been great. Thanks, Joe.
You're welcome. And you guys will leave the links there when the archives come out. And yes, they are coming out. Stay tuned for The Secret Teachings with Ryan Gable. Also, big shout out to Pacho, our producer, for making this happen. Please don't copy the show without written permission. Music was by Kronoaks and Steezy Stevie. Thank you to the Fringe FM team, you guys in the chat room. We love you guys. I'll see you tomorrow night. Good night.
Staff. Listener discretion is advised.